This is Selling Your Idea as Articles First, and I'm Joyce Ellis. We have a lot of fun that we can have with this class, and I hope that it'll be helpful to you, especially following up on the panel. Were all of you in the panel just now? Because what you heard there was that you can actually have a greater ministry potential in articles than in books sometimes. So let's say you have a book idea, and I assume you all do, or you wouldn't be here. I love this cartoon. Doctor is talking to a man who is in his underwear in a doctor's office, and the doctor says, "I'm afraid that book in you will have to come out." The original cartoon actually said novel, but I changed it to book so it can apply to everything. And then maybe you have an idea like this: chicken soup for the criminally insane. There's a new title for you. Well, I want to start by just talking a little bit about my backdoor approach to this topic. For many years, as I mentioned on the panel, I got my start in writing stories for take-home papers. Does anybody not know what a take-home paper is? There's no shame in saying I don't know what it is. Okay. A lot of denominational publishing houses, fewer today than in days past, use a certain curriculum in their Sunday schools. And so they create these little papers of maybe 4 to 8 pages that they send home with the kids or the adults. And that's how I got my start, was in the take-home papers. And I had no further agenda for them at the time. But later I compiled my stories into 2 books, one a devotional book for children and one book of missionary stories. Then I did some personal experience articles and devotionals, and again, no further agenda, but I included them in books I subsequently wrote. And I don't know, yeah, okay. Then I became an editor for Pursuit Magazine and the Evangelical Beacon. One of my jobs was to take articles that our editor liked, or take chapters that our editor liked from books and excerpt them. And so I would have to condense them and make them into something that would fit in our word count for an article. And I also met with publicists at editors' conventions to learn what would soon be released and what might have article possibilities for us. Then I edited them to fit the available space. Then I used articles. Later I realized I could do it the other way around with my own writing, and so can you. Various combinations of writing articles first other articles after books, okay? For example, I have a book called The 500 Hats of a Modern Day Woman, which is on the tables downstairs at a very special price. I did use some articles that I had previously written in there. I had to give credit, of course, to where they first appeared. But then I also wrote an article from that book for a magazine that asked me to do that. And so I wrote a 500 Hats article for the midlife woman audience. So I don't think we realize fully how often we can cross-pollinate. You know, we can do things in both areas. My major example, however, is my new book that's coming out this year, called we think this is the final title, Write with Excellence. It's a compilation of 50 of my 50 of my columns from the Christian Communicator magazine, my grammar columns. It was called You're Writing GPS, GPS standing for Grammar, Punctuation, and Style. And this was the first time I consciously started with the book idea, and I went to Lynn and approached her about writing a column. how it really started was, you know how you, there's a thing on the application for when you register for Right to Publish that says, I deserve a free book because, or something like that. Well, a woman at Right to Publish several years ago, earned a free book by writing that her husband said she reads grammar books as though they were novels. And a light bulb went off over my head, and I said, why couldn't a grammar book read like a novel? Why is it always considered a dry subject and too hard to understand? Why can't it be entertaining? I could write a book like that. I love grammar. I have a sense of humor, I'm told. I have published fiction, and I can be entertaining at times. So I thought I could find a book published for the project, and it just so happened in God's economy that the Christian Communicator just lost their grammar columnist. And so when I approached Lynn with the idea, she loved it, and she felt it. We both felt it had to be a God thing. And I decided I could write the columns first with the understanding that I was going to be doing compiling them into a book. And my title is not making it to the book, but it worked well for the column, the writing GPS. So meanwhile, while I was working on these columns, I had a monthly deadline. So I got my chapters written, because I knew I had to have one ready every month. And I really thought the column would only last for a couple years. Well, it wound up lasting more than five. And so we have quite a bit of material. There are copies of the columns also on the table downstairs if you want to get a little feel for them. And they're at cut rate prices today for a dollar. Just to kind of give you a feel for it and hopefully whet your appetite for more when the book comes out later this year. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's called Your Writing GPS, and it has various different topics on there. Okay, so you have a book idea, like I did, and you don't know where to start, or you're afraid of the time and the discipline required, or an editor told you there may not be a large enough market for this book. So I think maybe what you need to do is start with writing articles first. Why? Number one, it's easier to write. I'm going to try and go quickly with some of these that are pretty obvious, and then try and spend some more time with things that are more difficult. It's not as daunting, obviously. It proves to book editors that you have an audience. You can gain experience working with editors. You can learn from the way you're edited. There is a financial reward, usually, for reaching smaller goals toward the bigger one. You see the satisfaction of seeing your work in print, and there are reprint possibilities, which I'll talk about more later. You can also develop a rhythm if you are working on something regularly to get an article out. Say you make yourself a deadline, I'm going to send out one chapter of my book every month. It helps you get in that rhythm of developing it. And you can prove to an editor that you're the go-to person on the topic. If somebody sees an article that you've written on caring for special needs children for Focus on the Family, then they may say that maybe it's a book editor and they feel like there's nothing in their catalog that touches this topic. They might come to you and say, would you consider writing a book for us? It has happened. And then the best reason of all is that you can maximize ministry potential. This is a phrase that the Lord has given me in the last few years to really guide my life. My sister died when she was 60, and I am beyond that now. So I kind of feel like I need to maximize every ministry opportunity that the Lord gives me and to try to use the time and the energy that will produce the most results for the kingdom. So I want to just give you a little outline of how the ministry potential is so much greater, can be so much greater in articles. For books, one book done with a traditional publisher from a first-time author in its first print run. They usually only do about 5,000 copies, if that, and the book can go out of print in less than a year. One magazine article in a print magazine has the possibility of reprints. Again, we'll talk about that in a minute. The circulation numbers are from about 9,000 to more than 2.5 million, and we'll look at some specifics on that. If you go the self-publishing route with a book, there's a great high cost. Jesus tells us to count the cost. And I have done a self-published book. I can tell you it is very costly, not only in money, but in time. And then there's also the distribution challenges, which are extremely great. However, one magazine article online just has infinite potential. If you do not already have a copy of the Christian Writers Market Guide, you need to make sure you don't leave the conference without it, because as Lynn often says, you're a fool if you think you're going to get published without this book, because you can find so many places where you can sell your article ideas, your book idea in article form. Okay, let's look at the specifics on ministry potential. Here are some magazines and their circulation numbers, and these are in the Christian Writers Market Guide. And they're updated every year or two. These are from the 2016 issue, except for one, I think. The Bible Advocate, which is Seventh-day Adventist, has a circulation of 13,000. Seek, which is a take-home paper, 29,000. Live, a take-home paper, 20,000. Christian Home and School, 66,000. Pentecostal Evangel, 170,000. Lutheran Journal, 200,000. Charisma, 250,000. Mature Living, 223,000. CBN.com, the latest figures I have are from 2014, 1.6 million users a month. And then Guide Posts is more than 2 million. So compared with a limited print run of a first traditionally published book, that's a huge, huge difference in how many people you can reach. One of my friends, Jim Dahlman, who teaches at Milligan College in Tennessee, I believe, gave this example at a writer's conference once, that your work can be like a bullet or like a stalactite. A book might be a bullet where you get one shot and, you know, you have a relatively limited audience. It hits one person or a few people. But as it's a kind of a one-time deal. A stalactite, on the other hand, is that, I mean this in a good way, it's a steady dripping into people's lives. You have the ability to build up their lives with that steady dripping of what you have to write. Okay, and then there's the reprint possibilities. I mentioned this earlier. When I was an editor at Pursuit Magazine, I was assigned to interview a man named Del Wantland. Extremely interesting story, wonderful man. I got to talk to him for 2 hours on the phone. And I wrote an article called "Is There Life After Vietnam?" This profile of this man who is in a wheelchair. He was wounded in Vietnam. Has an amazing story of how God changed his life through really a dream where he saw Satan throwing, he was in line, and he saw Satan throwing other soldiers in the pit of fire, and he was next in line when he woke up. And he was a man who had been brought up in the church, but he had turned his back on God, and God really got a hold of him, and then gave him a ministry called Point Man Ministry for veterans. Because suicide is one of the highest causes of death among veterans. Okay, so I took that story. The magazine gave me permission. Anything I wrote for them, even on my time, I was allowed to sell elsewhere if I could. And I knew the man was from a Pentecostal background, and so I was able to sell the article to the Pentecostal Evangel. After that, I was able to sell it to a take-home paper called Lookout. And after that, I was able to sell it to Power for Living, and then Sunday Digest. And then with a little tweaking, I had talked to the editor at New Man magazine, which no longer exists, but I asked them if they'd be interested in it. They said, we like the idea, but everything of ours has to be in first person. And what I had done was third person. So I rewrote it in first person as though Del Wantland were speaking, telling his story, and was able, at this time actually was, they accepted it as first rights because it was changed enough. And the book potential still exists for Corporal Wantland. If I wanted to, I could expand that article if I had the time and could do a book about him. Okay, let's look at some books that could have been sold as articles first and where. I took a few books off of my bookshelf, some that I've read all the way through, some not. And just kind of wanted to give you an idea of how we may be able to think of article ideas from these. The first one is a book by Julie Allison Iron called Conquering the Time Factor, 12 Myths That Steal Life's Precious Moments. And if the author had wanted to, I believe she could have written an article called Five Myths That Steal Life's Precious Moments. You know, she's not going to be able to do 12 in an article, but maybe five or maybe three, and then develop them a little bit. One of the things that you need to know is that most publishers are publishing articles that are shorter and shorter all the time because people's attention spans are so short. And so she would have to condense it quite a bit. But she could take those main points, maybe not use as many illustrations, or find a way to condense the chapters into paragraphs. So where do you think the writer might be able to market this article? Working moms, good. So what, do you know a magazine that reaches that audience? Well, possibly, yeah. Sure, parenting magazines, parent magazines specifically. Maybe even focus on the family. And it wouldn't necessarily have to be a woman that works outside the home. It could be all women are working women, right? So that's just an editorial comment, sorry. but you're getting the idea that, and you know, there are a lot more than we know of. And if you get into that writer's market guide, you will find that there are many, many places that you never even considered, you never even knew existed. One of the first advantages that I found when I got into a critique group more than 40 years ago was that the other members in the critique group knew about articles that, I mean, magazines that I had never heard of. And they would say, that sounds just like this magazine, or that sounds just like that magazine, because they were familiar, they were from different denominational backgrounds, they were from different cultural backgrounds, et cetera, and we were able to, I was able to sell a number of those pieces. Then maybe she could revise it for multiple target audiences. Let's say instead of just targeting working moms, she could maybe do one for men's magazine on the same topic, right? Because guys have the same problems. Maybe she could do one specifically for teenagers. You know, you're getting the idea. Just trying to think of different kinds of audiences. Uh-huh.
Well, that's what they were talking about in the panel. Mm-hmm. How do you sell it to different magazines?
Exactly.
Give them rights, then, so
No, but you would write it differently because the illustrations that you would use for a teenager would be totally different than what you would use for a mom, right? To illustrate your points. You might be able to make the same points, but you would express it differently because you would talk to a teenager differently than you would to an adult. You could, one at a time, the first one would be, if it's the exact same article, the first one would be first rights, if they take first rights, and then the other ones would be reprints, like I showed you.
Right, so that's, you have to wait 60 days?
It's not 60 days. You have to wait until it appears in print. And then you're free to sell it for reprints. So you need to physically see it. But you can write the same, you can't take the same article and send it to six magazines at the same time. You can query six magazines at the same time. You can write to six different editors and say, I have this article idea, this is how I would develop it, what do you think? And hopefully they'll get back to you soon and you'll be able to pick which one you want if you have multiple people interested. But if you write it differently to a different audience with totally different illustrations and you express your points to teenagers differently than you do to a businessman, then you can send them out at the same time because they're totally different articles. You see? You get it?
Well, I'm thinking I write health articles. Mm-hmm.
Sure. You could. Yeah. Well, no, you would do it differently because you could do it differently because how is the culture different in a dentist office than it is in a hospital? What are some of the challenges? Extra challenges of being a manager in a private clinic as opposed to being a floor nurse in an ICU unit. You see what I'm saying? So we're going to spend some time at the end talking about specifics. So let's keep going and then maybe we'll kind of get to that answer that helps, okay? All right, so let's look at some ways that we might do this. If we take that topic of myths concerning time management, that's her main thing. So here's some of her chapter titles. Chapter one is, I can't say no. Well, we all know, I think, most of us have problems with that, right? And so she might be able to write an art. She could have maybe written an article called How to Say No Without Feeling Guilty. And that could go to a general market. It could go to a parenting market. Okay, that's a whole different ball game of how to say no to your kids than it is to how to say no to somebody who wants you to do something else at church, right? Chapter 9 was called Sleep, Who Needs It? And maybe she could have done an article called The Key to Productivity, Sleep? ? Then maybe that could go in a magazine on for business executives. Or maybe to a magazine on ministry leaders. Maybe it could go to a parenting magazine, right? Because if you're trying to run a family and run your business, what goes first? Sleep, right? Okay. Or chapter 11 is you have to be a morning person. That's one of the myths. And maybe she could have written an article called Working-With Your Body Clock. Okay, again, that could go to a business person. It could go to a parent. It could even go to a college student, right? maybe it would be good for kids to see that if they can, it would be good for them to schedule their classes when they're at their freshest so that they're not falling asleep. Okay, just some ideas there. All right, here's another book called Listen, Talk by Kirk Livingston. Subtitle is Conversation an Act of God? An overall article possibility might be The Divine Spark in Conversation, which is kind of one of his ideas in there, or one called More Than Conversation, or one called Can We Talk, or one called Can We Listen, just to be a little, take a little different tack. Then in order to make those into articles, maybe this person has already written that book, but they haven't sold it to a publisher yet. Maybe they keep getting rejection slips. They could maybe condense the chapters into paragraphs, which could become an article. You see what I'm saying? So that some of the chapter headings then could be subheadings in an article. Okay, here are some article possibilities from the chapter titles. Chapter 4 is Your Church as a Conversation Factory, and the article possibility is Your Church a Conversation Factory? Just turn it into a question. Chapter 5, Extreme Listening. You just change it around a little bit. Listening, : an extreme sport, ? Chapter 6, A Guide to Honest Talk. Maybe an article could be How to Muster the Courage to Be Honest. Chapter 7, Prayer Changes Our Listening and Talking. An article might be 3 Ways Prayer Can Model Everyday Conversation. And you can see that, again, if you look at different audience possibilities, you can go really far with some of these ideas. This is one of my all-time favorite books. It's not written to writers, but it's an extremely wonderful resource for writers, by Lucy Shaw, who is best known for her poetry. But she wrote a book called The Crime of Living Cautiously, Hearing God's Call to Adventure. And if you have any fears within yourself about writing, if the enemy keeps whispering to you that you're never going to make it or things are not... Excuse me, I just have to find a throat lozenge. That you're never going to make it, or that your writing stinks or something like that, this is a good book to just get you off your duff and tell you you need to do it, okay? An overall article possibility could be something as simple as, are you too cautious? Or how to be a risk taker and live to tell about it. And then again, she could have condensed her chapters into paragraphs using some of the chapter headings she had as subheads on the article. And now where might she market some of these ideas? It might not be as, you know, younger people tend to not be as fearful. So, so a teen market might not be the best, although maybe you could find a way to make that work. But what kinds of other things, audiences, do you think? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be a very good a good market for it. Midlifers.
ARP magazine.
Or ARP, yeah. Because some people are very adventurous in their older years, but others kind of tend to stay at home and watch TV. So... Well, if you want to do an overall article possibility on the whole book, the whole idea of the whole book, and you want to make it into one, just one article, then you could take one chapter and say, how can I express this whole chapter in just a few paragraphs? Or, and then you could, if you want, maybe use the title of the chapter as a subhead for the article. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, except that that audience probably is already stepping out a bit. Okay. Okay, I see a real possibility in that. That would be another whole way to develop it. And maybe that would be one of the chapters that could be used for a very specific type of thing. If you're It can be tough to raise funds. I've done it. I know what it's like. And so, especially when it's for you to go somewhere on a missions trip. And so that would be a good use for it, I think, especially for people who are taking that step or people who feel God has called them, but they're not so comfortable with the fundraising. I think that's a really good idea. Okay, so here are some chapter titles. Chapter 2 is called God's Call or My Impulse. That's a good chapter title, isn't it? And I really think that that would make a great article possibility, because all of us want to make sure that we're following God's will. Are we really hearing God? Sometimes we take a step of faith because we feel like God's called us to do something, and then, excuse the expression, but all hell breaks loose, right? And that's on tape. Sorry, folks. But we all have those kinds of issues. Or a chapter called Breaking the Fear Barrier. We could just use that same title for an article, I think, or something like What's Fear Got to Do With It? You know, like the song. A little play on words on the title there. That's something just to grab their attention, but you're still talking about fears and what kinds of people can, or what kinds of things can, target markets could we go with that? Here I think would be a good place for a teen market, because even though they may be more inclined to be risk takers, they still have fears. It might be fear of speaking, taking a public speaking class. It might be fear of being different, fear of not fitting in. You know, what kinds of, so you need to identify then what each audience's fears are. What are the kinds of fears that they're dealing with? And that's how this becomes a different article than one for an ARP magazine, because the fears are very different. Some of them. Chapter 6 is the risk of relationship. And we might do an article called Risking Honest Relationships. And that could be for any age group, for any, whether it's a business person or a stay-at-home mom or a women's ministry leader. Can you see how, is your mind working? Are you seeing how you could tell this, do this article in a different way for each one of those markets? Okay, because what kinds of problems do we have in having honest relationships in all the different areas of our lives and in all the different people within our churches, right? Chapter 7 is Risk Takers for God. Our human heroes. And I think you could just go with daring to be a risk taker and, again, kind of follow some of the things we talked about before. I want to go through these a little faster because we have other things to do, but I want you to see different types of things. This is a book by James M. Cece called The Purity War, A Biblical Guide to Living in an Immoral World. And he could have written an overall article called Winning the Purity War. Now, how he could write it differently for different target markets. Why don't you tell me some ways that he could approach that? For teenagers. Let's start there. Exactly. Sure, because you could go with parenting. How do you teach your children what is safe touch and what's good touch and what's not good touch, right? You could go with the teenagers on how to deal with sexual temptation. You could go with businessmen or businesswomen about how to deal with pornography, how to deal with temptation in the workplace. You can just go a lot of different ways with that. Or he could have written maybe an overall article called Purity, Is It Even Possible in Today's World? Again, condensing chapters into paragraphs and using section titles as subheads in the article. So you could revise it for a lot of different audiences, and that topic could really work well. Now, I wanted to give you some specifics on this one. These are some of his chapter titles from the table of contents, and then but the table of contents is actually broken up into six sections. There's parts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And part 1 is the need, part 2 is God's design, part 3 is man's abuses, 4 is the way of escape, 5 is the way back, and 6 is the way forward. Nice chapter sections, or book sections, don't you think? Because he really gives us a full picture of the problem and the solution. Now, he could do an article on each one of those sections, couldn't he? And then you can see how this is part 2, God's design. He really could do an article on each one of those chapters. And part 3 the same way. Okay. Some books that could be sold as articles first, we're going to let you be part of that in just a little bit. But I just want to give you some overall principles. You have a book idea. You don't know where to start. Well, start with one chapter idea. Maybe you just have the main overview and you don't really know what you want to do with it yet. So start with a chapter. And you could go from chapter to article, condensing it, because your chapter will probably be longer than what is allowed in most magazines today. Or you could go from article to chapter and expand it. So, for instance, let's say you wrote an article on how to teach your children about safe touch and bad touch, or good touch and bad touch. And you had this idea that that's what you want your chapter to be about. Okay, write it as an article. You can write it as an article first within the word count that the magazine allows. And then, start sending it out. This is the good part about all this, is you can start sending these things out to see if you can get them published in magazines while you continue working on your book. So you start sending that out, and then you start working on the next chapter. So if you start with an article and then expand it for a chapter, the main thing here is that you need some kind of a hook at the end of the chapter to keep readers reading, so that it doesn't just sound like a 12-chapter book is actually 12 articles. You don't want it to sound like that. You want it all to tie together, and you want chapter 1 to make us really want to read chapter 2. So a hook at the end of a chapter is as important as the hook at the beginning of a chapter or an article. Then you could write with a specific audience in mind and research which publications reach that target audience. We've been talking about target audience all this time, different ways you could write the articles. And the more you can get your idea out there, the more you're maximizing ministry opportunities. then please allow the editor or agent to help you shape your project. Wrote an art book a number of years ago called Plug Into God's Rainbow. And it was a book about how the rainbow was a symbol of God's promises from the very beginning, from the story of Noah on. And I talked about the different ways that I discovered that God's promises were still reliable. We could still count on his promises. Well, an editor was interested in the book, but she said, let's try it this way. What would you think of this? And she came up with the color scheme of the rainbow. Section 1 was red, section 2 was orange, section 3 was yellow, and on down through the colors in the order they appear in the rainbow. And we found a way to tie those things into the theme. For instance, for red, we used anger. For yellow, we talked about cowardice or fears. And for green, we talked about envy. So that's a fun way to see how an editor and a writer can work together. As some people have say, a book is not a solo, it is a duet. It's between you and your publisher. That's why a lot of times, even though traditional self-publishing is becoming more popular, traditional publishing gives you that support system and it helps you have that more well-rounded experience sometimes. Okay, maybe your second objection is that you're afraid of the time and the discipline required. First of all, let me just say this is an extremely common feeling. Anybody here not feel that way? No hands going up. Okay. Secondly, Jesus said it is important to count the cost. We're not supposed to embark on building a tower unless we know how much it's going to cost. And there have been instances in history where people did not count the cost and it was disastrous. And let me just say, I'm not just talking time and money. When you do business for God, there is a cost on your family. I have been in this business for more than 40 years, and I can tell you there is a cost to your family. So count the cost. Third, if you can't not write the book or article, as Lucy Shaw says in The Crime of Living Cautiously, feel the fear and do it anyway. Feel the fear and do it anyway. If there's no way you can hold that book inside of you, if that book inside you has to come out, feel the fear and do it anyway. Or three, maybe an editor told you that there may not be a large enough market for this book. Simple solution. Prove him or her wrong by writing and publishing quality, helpful articles on your topic. If you just say, okay, he says there's not a big enough market, so I'm just going to self-publish it. Well, you're not really proving him wrong because you're not going to be able to reach unless you have a specialized niche, you probably are not going to be able to reach as many people. But if you sell your articles first, you will show him that there is a market for it and that you are the person to write it. Okay, we're going to do some brainstorming. Here are some books that could be sold as articles first and where. So it's your turn. But first, I'm going to ask that the recording end at this moment. And so I'm going to turn off we'll do this first, but then I'm going to turn off the recording because I want you to feel free to share with each other. But first, you have to take this pledge. So raise your right hand, please. And then say your name. Agree that what's shared in this class stays in this class. I promise I will not copy, beg, borrow, steal, purloin, pilfer, plagiarize, pirate, manipulate, replicate, imitate, or pass off as my own any book or article ideas I've heard in this class because, well, that just would not be right or nice. Okay. What? No, but, you know, it's...